Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What exactly were you expecting? That's what the pastor asked. And the young couple, they looked at him in silence, for they were taken aback by what he had just asked. What do you mean, what were we expecting? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it the same that everyone expects when they get their child baptized? We bring in our daughter, you pour on the water, you say a few words, family takes a whole bunch of pictures, and then we have a party. What more is there? Now, it was the pastor's turn for silence. But not because their reply shocked him, but because their reply was becoming more and more common these days. And for whatever reason, today was the day when he began to feel the weight of that reality. And so he paused long enough to plead with the Holy Spirit to place the right words in his mouth. And then he spoke. He says, yes, yes, there will be all of that. There will be water. There will be words. There will be family. There will be pictures and there will be a party. But you see, the richness in all of this that I think you are missing is something I would like to explore. Are you interested in doing that? Now, they answered, of course, in the affirmative, because even though they were doing this just for their parents, they also had a sense that there must be some greater meaning than tradition or ritual. And quite frankly, they were curious about it. Good, good, he replied. Let's start with a question. If you were to take the ritual, if you were to take the family gathering, even take the party, set it aside for a moment, could you think of reasons why your parents value the baptism of your precious little daughter? Well, she started. Besides the fact that we've always done it, even I was baptized. Besides the fact that the whole family looks forward to coming together, to getting together on special occasions. I guess, it is to guarantee that my baby is protected from sin for the rest of her life. And I know then that she will go to heaven. Okay, the pastor replied in this calm, even tone. He wasn't interested in correcting her just yet. And so he continued on. And he asked her, what does it mean to be protected from sin? Oh, that's an easy one, she replied. You see, when she's baptized, God takes away all her sin, every last one that she will ever commit. And so, because she is sinless, she'll go to heaven. And he asked her, how might this happen? How do you suppose this happens? How does God take away her sin in baptism? So she thought about it for a moment, and she replied in the form of a question. I guess he just forgives her, maybe? Pastor figured he had interrogated her enough and didn't want to push his luck. And so he paused for a moment, and he asked them if they would be interested in hearing what the church taught about baptism. And they were. So he walks over to his old dusty bookshelf, finds the book among all the ones that are causing the shelves to sag, and he pulls it out And he sits down in front of them, and as he opens it, he explains to them that this book was written by Martin Luther. And it was written by him to teach families about a whole bunch of different topics. One of them, baptism. And so he begins to read from that section. It says, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. And how can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. And he closed his book and he summarized what he had just read. You see, through baptism, your sins are forgiven, and eternal salvation is promised to all who believe. But baptism is more than just water. It's water mixed with the power of God's Word. And through that Word, by faith, these benefits are made available to those who receive this means of God's grace. Now, he could tell that they were interested, and so he continued on. He goes, now this answers the what question, and it begins to answer some of the how. And if we stop here, we probably could begin to understand why your parents are interested in your daughter getting baptized. But as you understand even more of the how, the richness, the depth of what God is doing becomes all the more glorious. I'd like to read something from the Bible, he says. So he opens up his Bible. He turns to Luke. And he explains as he's doing so who John the Baptist is and why he is living out in the desert. And then he reads this. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. You see, he said, before Jesus, the baptism that John performed was one of repentance. It was to cleanse people from their sins and make them ready to meet the Messiah. Now, as important as it was, that's all it was. And so, when Jesus arrives, John pushes back. He pushes back because it doesn't make sense to him that he would baptize Jesus to prepare Jesus to meet Jesus. See what I mean? But what Jesus was doing in this moment was not preparing for his own coming, but was instead taking the place of humanity to eventually receive the full wrath of God's judgment for all of our sins. You see, in that moment, he began to stand in solidarity with us. Not as a sinner, but alongside us sinners. So that he could do on the cross what we could not. That is, make atonement, payment for our sins. This was John's baptism. Now, the one that we perform today, it's even greater than his. Jesus' baptism revealed to us his true identity, his true mission. Now, our baptism reveals our identity. That is, an identity that is anchored in Christ. In this sacrament, God acts decisively. He claims us as his own. He puts our old selves to death. And he raises us up in Christ. And since we are in Christ, since our identity is found in him, it makes sense then that our sins are forgiven. Because Jesus endured God's judgment for them. He's paid for them. He has atoned them. They've been atoned for. God then remembers them no more. See, this is what baptism is all about. Now, the young couple just sat in silence. They were absorbing everything that they were hearing. They didn't fully understand it. But now they understood that there is so much more to this baptism and Jesus than they had ever thought. And their hearts began to open as they contemplated all of this and what it might mean for them and for their daughter. And after a moment, the young lady asks him a question. So, she says, if baptism is just a one-time thing, something that is done, it's only done once, it seems too important to do just once. Pastor smiled, almost leapt out of his chair. What a wonderful question, he said. What a wonderful, insightful, beautiful question. It's true. It's true. Baptism only happens once. But you should not think of it as a single event, something that happens on that day for your daughter. It's really the beginning of a lifelong identity. It's something that we return to day in and day out as we mature in our faith. Remember Martin Luther? He said this about our baptism, the daily significance of it. It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. You see, the pastor said, what Martin Luther is saying here is that daily, every day, we should return to our baptism and remember that in that moment, God put to death our sinful identity and raised a new one in Christ. And we should live in that reality. Live as though we have been adopted by God, because we have. The couple sat there for some time, almost apologetically asked how they might learn more about baptism, more about Jesus, more about God. For they understood that there was so much more to all of this than they had ever imagined. And this morning, I pray. pray that you do too. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for the gift of baptism. Will you claim us as your own and unite us with Christ? Help us to live daily in the reality of this grace, repenting of sin and rising to new life in him. Strengthen our faith and remind us always of your promises, that we may trust in your love and share it with others. In your name we pray. Amen.